All right. Praise the Lord. Isn't God good? Such a joy to be together. Welcome, you sent students. God bless you all. And I know you just returned on Friday, and it's a joy to see you. I was unable to be here Friday night for the supper that you all had. But welcome in Jesus' name. Okay, let's stand for a word of prayer before we get into the main part of the service here. Father, we do exalt you and praise you, Lord. We thank you, Father. Thank you so much, God, for the life of Christ within us, Father. Thank you that that life brings forth anointing in our lives, that teaches us all things and gives us direction for our pathway. Father, gives us protection from the enemy, Lord, like we heard this morning. We thank you. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the body of Christ. Thank you, Father, that we're able to be together here this morning in this way. Thank you for the snowfall yesterday, Lord. Oh, God, it was such a blessing, Lord, just to be at home and see in the quietness of the snow falling around us, Lord. We just want to bless you. You're a good God all around, Lord, both to us spiritually, physically. You supply our needs, and we worship you and bless you. Father, I do trust you to supply my need as I'm up here, Lord, to deliver your word to this congregation and feed your people. Oh, Father, anoint my lips. And God, I pray that you would give me grace to preach forth the unsearchable riches of Christ and the power and the and anointing and demonstration of your Spirit. Father, I thank you and praise you that you're faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Amen. Well, the snow was a blessing, wasn't it? I thoroughly enjoyed it too. Seems like we haven't seen a storm like that for a number of years. Well, I was thinking of what the Lord would have me to share this morning, and just pondering and praying, and God seemed to lay this message on my heart. Living on the cutting edge. Living on the cutting edge. Of course, that's in our Christian lives. And I used to cut wood, and this year's the first time I didn't cut wood. I couldn't seem to find a wood lot, and finally gave in to propane gas for our heating source. But I used to cut wood, and sometimes a chain would get dull, either from hitting a stone or hitting frozen ground, and, you know, if I didn't have an extra chain along, I had to put more strength to that thing in order to get it through the log. And you know, basically, after a while, it wouldn't cut at all. So living on the cutting edge of our Christian lives, that's the message this morning. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 10. You don't have to turn there. I just wanted to read one verse. If the iron be blunt and he do not whet the edge or sharpen it, then must he put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. So there we see the little scripture that, you know, the iron is blunt, you have to put more strength to it. But our God desires our Christian lives to be on the cutting edge. Now let's turn to Matthew 13. 31 and 32. Matthew 13, verse 31. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Here we see this little mustard seed, which it doesn't bring it out in particularly in this scripture, but in a few other scriptures in the Gospels, brings out the thought that the mustard seed is that of what? Anyone care to? Faith, exactly. And that's my message this morning. Living on the cutting edge by living in faith. Living on the cutting edge by living a life of faith. I'd like to preach a message this morning on faith and walk, more particularly walking in faith in our Christian walk. Not so much about being justified by faith. We all know that that happens at the point of salvation. The Bible speaks much about faith. First of all, about being justified by faith and that we live by faith and that the just shall walk by faith. It says we walk by faith, not by sight. What's the meaning of faith? I looked it up in the Strong's persuasion, conviction of religious truth, assurance, believe, convinced. You know, it's mentioned 245 times in the New Testament alone, and basically not in the Old, but 245 times in the New. Faith is a powerful word and holds a lot of weight in our Christian walk. We see that with the evidence of how often it's mentioned in the New Testament. What again is faith? Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Brings out here that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. So here we see that faith, again, faith is what? The evidence, the assurance of things not seen. It says the evidence of things hoped for, and that word hope itself is a very expectant word. It's a word to expect, to confide, to anticipate, to believe. And so we see this morning, and as we go, as we see in Hebrews 11, which I'm not going to take time to go through Hebrews 11, but we see that, you know, through faith, great things were accomplished for the Lord, for God. These men of God that had faith accomplished great things for the kingdom of God. And we're used in blessed, mighty ways. So this morning I'd like to go through some areas of how an active faith affects our Christian walk. And also how the lack of it hinders our walk. Are you living on the cutting edge of your Christian life? Or is your Christian life dull? Often faith is what can make the difference there. That's what I'd like to get at this morning. Faith, living on the cutting edge of your Christian life, or is your life at a place of dullness? So first of all, I'd simply like to talk about the walk of faith. You know, in Psalms it says, Psalm 37 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. So there we see that God lays before us steps in our Christian walk that we're to take. And of course, this Christian life is not a life of sight, but that of faith. So let's picture ourselves this morning as newborn babes in Christ. And then furthermore, picture ourselves as a physical babe. You know, those babies, they take their first steps, and the father or the parents are pleased. They're blessed when they see maturity and growth and an ongoing, you know, steps forward into development of their physical maturity and emotional and mental development. And as long as a child is taking steps in that direction, there's growth. There's growth and there's a direction being taken unto maturity. And that's God's heart for us in the spiritual. Is that we are at a place where we're taking steps by faith unto Christian maturity. By faith. It's a walk of faith, not by sight, as is the physical. He orders our steps. He orders those steps for us. Okay, as we walk this Christian walk, He lays the next step before us. Then we have a decision to face. We face decisions right at that point. Are we going to take that next step? And He lays another one before us. We take the next one. And as those steps are ordered by the Lord and we move forward, we grow in Christ. There is spiritual growth and development and maturity taking place. At least unto maturity. You know, when I read a story about the Niagara Falls when they this was back probably a hundred or so years ago, when they went to build a suspension bridge, the question came up. Apparently, it was probably the river was probably uncrossable by boat because of the swiftness of the water and so forth. And the question came up: how are we going to get? They wanted to make a suspension bridge. How are we going to get the cable across to the other side? Probably before they had planes and helicopters and so forth. So the suspension bridge, that was the question. They decided to, they came up with this thought, we'll fly a kite with the wind going the right direction and let it alight on the other shore. And so onto that kite string then, they attached the cord. Something just a little bit heavier, and pulled it across. And then from there they attached a larger rope, and then a cable strong enough to sustain the iron cable which supported the bridge, over which heavily laden trains pass in safety. You know, it all started with that insignificant little string. It all started there. And that's our Christian walk. You know, I believe faith. Sometimes we may think in our minds, do I really have strong faith? God is not so concerned about how much faith you have, but the quality thereof. That's what He's concerned about more, is are you taking those little steps that He's laying before you? As you take those little steps, He might give you bigger steps and more and larger till your faith has grown to great proportions. Like that bridge, like took place with that bridge. It grew that, all started with that insignificant little string. Finally, the cable was stretched, whereby all these heavy laden trains were able to cross. God desires our faith to be at a place of such growth that we are a blessing in that way, that it might grow to proportions holding up its possessor and many others around Him. It's the heart of God. But like I said, God is not so concerned where you're at if your faith has not grown to gigantic proportions yet, God is not so concerned about that, but that you're stepping out with the steps that are laying before you. He orders those steps. Are you stepping out in faith with the steps that He is ordering and placing before you? Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. Just to prove to you that the Lord is not so interested, He's not so concerned about the largeness of your faith, here in verse 20 it says, "And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief," this was the disciples when they were endeavoring to cast a demon out of a certain child there, "because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." And then furthermore in Luke 17, basically the same thought. Verse 6. Luke 17, verse 6. If ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. So again, the faith The little grain of mustard seed, which is the smallest of seeds, can remove mountains and can do great and mighty things, can take place if that seed is pure. If it's not rotten, it's not some tainted with other things, which I'll get into later here. It's not tainted, but it's pure. There's a moving forward with the little steps that are placed before you. That's what God is interested in, that you are stepping forward in faith in the next step that God is placing right before you. God places before us continuously steps that He desires us to take in our Christian walk. Do we step forward in faith? I just want to turn quickly to a scripture in John 8. You don't have to turn there. But John 8 verse 12 says, "And then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." So as you continue following Christ in faith, as you take those steps of faith, you'll be living in the light of life. In God's purposes for your life, in direction in areas of your life you may be struggling in, with a besetting sin or some weight that you may be endeavoring to shed. It's as you walk in the light, taking those steps that are before you, that God gives grace. We all know by faith, by grace are we saved, through faith. Likewise, our Christian life is lived out by grace, but it all happens through faith, as we walk in faith in regards to those things that God is placing before us. Do we step forward in faith, or do we succumb to maybe what our natural tendencies have been for so long? And this leads me to the next point, and that is that of fear. Anxiety, doubt, worry, all of those things have a dulling effect on what God desires to be the cutting edge of our Christian life. Those things have a dulling effect. They dull. They cause us not to have that cutting edge when we're maybe engaged in a struggle over sin or endeavoring to fulfill God's purposes for our lives. They have a dulling effect. These things inhibit progress. When God has spoken, it's time to move. And I'm not speaking about just, presumptuously moving ahead. But when you know God has spoken, when you sense God has spoken to my heart, it's time to take that step, brother, sister. It's time to move forward. Some of us maybe because of trying in our own strength in the past, maybe because it feels more secure where I'm at, or afraid to step out in faith. Or maybe you have endeavored and along comes that anxiety or fear. It is really going to work out. Is it really going to work out on the long run? So you retreat back into your previous security. I mean, I've been there. I just share that for what it's worth. You know, the life of faith, fear and anxiety, these things can at times be not only dulling but crippling. God has many riches He wants to give to us, but they're apprehended by faith, brother, sister. They're apprehended by taking that next step of faith God is laying before you. Kind of like a little story I read also of a bride of a wealthy family. The bride and groom receive thousands of dollars worth of presents. They, after having received them, they were unhappy, fearing they would be robbed. So the only thing they thought they could do is, hey, I'm going to put these presents all in the safe deposit. You know? And where they were at, they were happy, in a sense, because now they felt secure, but they never got to appreciate and be blessed by the gifts that were given them.
They were too afraid.
Afraid they might be, we might be robbed. They might be stolen.
And thus they just stayed in their little security, never really being blessed by what was given to them. And that's sometimes the case of us Christians. We fear, we in our securities, in our little securities that we kind of hang on to, some of us are tempted with fear and anxiety with the steps of faith God wants us to take. We stay there, we'll never really be able to apprehend all that has been given us in Christ Jesus. That's the truth. It's apprehended by faith, brother, sister. As you move forward in faith, taking that next step, that's when those things are apprehended that have been given, that are yours in Christ. You've inherited them, but they become active in our lives through faith. Let's read a few scriptures on fear just to show us that Christ, He is very much desirous that we not be troubled, nor live in anxiety and fear, doubt and discouragement. St. John chapter 14, verse 27. 14 verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Christ, the heart of Christ is that we, whatever we face in life, that we do not allow our heart to be troubled. Neither that we become anxious and fearful and fretful and begin to think, well, am I, is it all going to work out? St. John 16:33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation." So tribulations will come, my brethren. They will come. We will face tribulation. We will face temptation. We will face, like we heard this morning, the pressure of the world. We face those things. We're living in a world that is wicked and evil and headed on a path of destruction. But God has a way for us to live in this present evil world in peace, in faith, that we're moving on in faith despite all the pressures around us that try to, get their grip around us and hold us in its grip. And God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 41. Interestingly, it says that he took that grain of mustard seed and sowed it. So brother, sister, we have a part to play in this matter of faith. It's taking. There's a part we have in this Christian walk. And that is stepping forward in faith. That man took the seed. He's the one that took it and sowed it. Yes, forthwith God gives the increase. But it says that the man took the seed and he's the one that put it into the ground. Anyway, verse Isaiah 41. Let's just read a few of these scriptures. Verse 10, "Fear not, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Excuse me. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." And I always like that righteous right hand of the Lord. He holds us up with that righteous right hand. And in that hand is righteousness. Righteousness to direct our way. Righteousness to give us protection. And righteousness to cause us to find the way, that the path that He wants to lead us into. "Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing. They that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, as an end, as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth, Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shall make the hills as chaff. Now, sometimes in our Christian walk, when we face mountains, we wish, and I know it's been that way with me, you know, I wish God would just supernaturally remove them. I mean, that would be a blessing, and He does that at times. But here He says, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument. You! I will make you a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. You shall thresh the mountains and beat them small and make the hills as chaff. And I believe as you move forward, if you're facing a mountain this morning, as you move forward in faith, God, in other words, that is, in essence, what God is using. He's using you, your faith. He worked through you to have that mountain threshed and gone. So this morning, if there's some things in this matter of anxiety and fear in your life, in regards to moving forward in faith in a given area of your life, allow God's Spirit to work in you. That mountain can be thrashed and gone and be as a thing of nothing and as a thing of naught. In fact, it says, it just blesses me here. It says, they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them. I mean, imagine, you're a mountain. I know mountains are big things to us. When we face a mountain, it's like, you know, it's on our mind. It tends to be on our mind and on our heart and thinking, you know, our mind tends to want to think on it. But God says, I can make that mountain into such a place that even, you know, afterward, when it's all gone, that if you would even seek for it, you wouldn't even be able to find it. You know, your enemies. He's bringing out the thought of our enemies being the mountain. They that war against thee shall be as a thing, as nothing and as a thing of naught. Then furthermore, Isaiah, down at the, where was I at here? When the poor, verse 17, when the poor and needy seek water and there is none and their tongue faileth for thirst, I the Lord will hear them. I the God of Israel will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittah tree and the myrtle and the oil tree, and I will set in the desert the fir tree and the pine and the box tree together. They may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord has done this and the Holy One of Israel has created it. Now maybe you're at a place this morning where you're feeling poor and needy. Now first of all, He promises to thresh your mountains through you. He will thresh those mountains that you fear and have anxiety about. Secondly, He promises to bring you into a place of usefulness. Now remember, the mustard seed, it says it grows up into the greatest of herbs, becoming a tree so that the birds of the air lodge in the branches thereof. And that's what God desires to do in our lives as we walk by faith. He desires to thresh those mountains, to make those hills as chaff, and furthermore, to make you, to bring you into a place of much usefulness. But it all takes place through that mustard seed of faith. Mustard seed of faith. As you take that little faith, maybe just small, but pure, as you take that step that God is laying before you, mountains will be thrashed and your life will be that of much fruitfulness and usefulness. These trees here that it mentions in Isaiah are trees of much usefulness. The myrtle, the oil tree, the cedar, fountains spring up in the midst of the valleys. Useful to the traveler that is thirsty and wayward, weary from his travels. Place of much usefulness as we walk by faith. Don't allow that fear and anxiety to encumber us, to just kind of, you know, just kind of slow us down. We have that, and it causes our Christian life to have that dulling effect. So, God, if you have any of these in your life, take the mustard seed of faith and sow it. God's heart is that we not give in to fear and anxiety. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. Be careful for nothing means be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It's a promise of God. Luke 1, verse 74. This was the oath that He swore unto our father Abraham, that He would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear, without anxiety, without worry and doubt and fear. We might serve Him without fear in holiness and righteousness. How many days of our lives, brethren? All the days of our life. It's the heart of God that we are walking in faith to a degree that we are void of fear. And secondly, that we're serving the Lord. That we might serve God in holiness and righteousness all of our days. Being at a place of usefulness to the Lord and His kingdom. Okay, the next point I'd like to go to is to live by faith is to produce a life of works or good works. Or it will produce a life of good works, however you want to word it. But let's turn to James chapter 2. Sometimes we shy away from that word works. You know how many times it's written in the Old New Testament? Just about as many times as faith. It's written 235 times. Faith is written, I found the word faith 245 times. So God is very interested in good works coming forth from our lives. James chapter 2. James chapter 2, verse 15. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Yea, man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Works is simply showing forth what is inside, as we see in verse 18 here. It's showing forth how active faith really is in our lives. It's a test, brother, sister, this morning. What works are coming forth from your life? That's a test. It's a test of what faith is, how active faith is working in your life. How active faith is there? How active you are taking those steps of faith that God is laying before you. The proof is what comes forth. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your, what? Good works. And does glorify your Father which is in heaven. So God desires us to be so walking in faith that good works are just pouring forth from our lives. And thus drawing men to Christ. Drawing them to a place of glorifying their Father which is in heaven. God wants the world to see our good works. In other words, our lives are engaged in the work of His kingdom. And it all works by, like I said, by faith. The word works is to work, toil. Toil as an effort or occupation, an act, deed, doing, labor. Those are words in the Strong's. But I just wanted to bring that out, that works is God desires our lives to be engaged in good works. And as we take steps of faith, that's what will be pouring forth from our hearts and lives. It will be pouring forth from us as we are moving forward in faith. It brings out verse 23 here. Let me just go on down through here and start. Well, let me start reading verse 20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered up Isaac, his son, upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the Scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Now, the actual fulfillment of faith is the outworking of the work, is what it's bringing out. It says, Abraham was justified. The Scripture was actually fulfilled. The Scripture that we know so well, that Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness, it was actually fulfilled, Abraham. I mean, God is bringing out when he was obedient at the place of offering up his son, Isaac. That was fulfilled. It showed forth. It was the completeness of the faith that was working inside of Abraham. So it brings out that the fulfillment of this Scripture... Let me go on down. Works is the proof of the pudding. Works is letting others know of what kind of faith you really have or don't have. This is why Hebrews 11 is so full of men who accomplished great works for God. You know, we look at Hebrews 11, and rightfully so, we say this is a great faith chapter. It is. It's a great faith chapter, is right. But you could also call it the great works chapter, or the great, you know, and these men accomplished mighty things for God. How? By faith. They walked in faith, and God used them by them taking those steps of faith. You know, Noah, he took the step of faith that it was going to rain, that a flood was coming, and he built an ark to the saving of his whole house. He walked in faith all those years. He kept taking those steps of faith. The flood's coming. Yes, God continues to reveal to me the flood's coming. Think about it. All those men that mocked, scorned Him. I was at the Creation Museum recently out in, Kentucky. And they have this little thing there, you know, of the men that are mocking Abraham. And it was so interesting. And I just thought, my, this man remained faithful through how many years? I don't know how many years it was. 120 years. Imagine. It was a walk of faith that worked itself out in works. And he built himself a huge ark to the saving of his whole house. So works is the proof of what is really inside. So brother or sister, test yourself this morning. Where are you at in this life of faith? Is faith active? Take a look, examine your Christian walk and say, is a life of good fruit and good works being produced, flowing forth from my heart? Is that evident? Examine the foundation. If it's not, are you maybe not taking those steps of faith that God is laying before you, placing before you? Let's not have a faith that's merely profession, but a faith that walks with God and takes those steps that He's placing before us. Let's be on the cutting edge in this world we live in. The dull, for the most part, doesn't cut it. Let's live in the cutting edge, brother. Cutting edge as we minister to one another as a brotherhood. On the cutting edge in this evil world as we go into the supermarkets and rub shoulders with this world. Are we in the cutting edge? Again, the chainsaw. If I got my chain sharpened, I mean, phew, thing was through in no time at all. It worked so easy. And it's actually much easier to have that sharp Christian life than it is to have a dull one and try to live it out. Okay, let's go on to the final point here. Lastly, I'd like to talk about the tremendous emphasis God places on faith, especially in the Gospels. I'm just going to go down. I have the Scriptures written here, and for sake of time, we won't turn to them. But I'd like to bring out the lack of faith at times that we see in the Gospels and the consequences thereof, and also the blessing of when faith was active. You know, the centurion servant that was healed, Jesus' words were to him, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." You know, almost, it's just amazing how often Christ, when He healed someone, when He delivered someone from demons or whatever the case, He put a lot of emphasis on their faith. Mark 9:22, the woman with the issue of blood. Daughter, be of good comfort. I mean, it's amazing. He actually gave the woman credit for the healing, basically. He said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Thy faith. I mean, we know that Jesus healed her, but He was crediting that woman with the dynamic faith that she had in this whole situation, and that brought about the healing. That's what brought it about, is her faith. Thy faith hath, daughter, be of good comfort. Then Matthew 14, Peter, this is on the negative, Peter sank because of a lack of faith. He was told, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Two blind men in Matthew 9 were healed, and Jesus' comment to them was, according to your faith, be it unto you. So again, those steps of faith are so important. As we take that step of faith, God speaks to His servant, His child, and says, according to your faith, Brother John, Brother Amos, Sister Rachel, according to your faith, I give it to you. According to your faith, I give you these blessings. According to your faith, I'm fulfilling your purpose, my purpose for your life. Two blind men. Jesus' words to the Gentile woman who had a daughter vexed with the devil were, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Matthew 16, Jesus rebuked the disciples one place when they were reasoning among themselves about having no bread. He said, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Again, you know, reasoning so often gets us in trouble. I can just simply put it at that, place the picture before us again. You know, we get a little fearful and anxious and we begin to analyze the situations and think, you know, I don't know if this is going to work. You know, we sense that God has laid a step before us. We begin to go down that place of path of reason. Like Brother Paul brought out the other week, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct thy path. And that's the heart of God, that we are living at a place of faith. Such that we're not going down those paths of reasoning the whole thing out when we see how, when a step has been placed before us. Jesus rebuked the disciples when they did that and said, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves? Yes, faith is a victory that overcometh the world. The world that is full of sin. This world that we heard about this morning, faith is a victory that overcomes the world. Are you struggling this morning in your morals or in a given area of your life? Faith is a victory, brother, sister, that overcomes the world. That faith, as you take that step, God is actively working in you to overcome that area of need in your life. It's walking in the light that God sheds upon our path and taking the next step that the light is shining on. Not only do we overcome the world and the lusts thereof, but the works of God and His purposes are manifested mightily as we likewise walk by faith. So maybe this morning, brother, sister, you're at a place of struggle and need. It's by faith. Maybe you're seeking out God's will for your life and trying to understand the will of God and His heart, His purposes for your life, and you're walking, you know, you're seeking to know His calling. Again, walk by faith in those steps that He's placing before you. Both are very clearly by faith that we apprehend these things of God. Let us also be those that are mighty in deed and work through the faith that we see in Hebrews 11. Mighty in deed and work through faith. Through the faith we see God wants us to live by. So, brother, sister, it's a life of faith. We know we are justified by faith. But Jesus also, it also brings out in the epistles, as ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. So walk ye in Him. Okay, the walk. The walk. The just. We live not by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. We walk. That's the walk of faith. On an ongoing basis, it's a walk of faith. We've been justified by faith, and we're to continue to walk in faith. So let us live on the cutting edge. Let's be men and women of faith. This is in closing here as we close. Let's be men and women of faith and thus be on the cutting edge as we minister to each other as a congregation. Let's take that seed, that mustard seed, and sow it. Take it and sow it. Take it and sow it in your own heart. Take it and sow it for the well-being of others. As maybe there's a need in the congregation you see. Take that seed of faith and sow it. Believe God for that person. Pray for him. Believe God to come through in his or her life. Sow that seed of faith, that mustard seed. Though it be little as a mustard seed. God says, I will do mighty things in your life and in the lives of others as you take that seed of faith and sow it. Let's be on the cutting edge in this dark world we live in, filled with sin and sorrow. Let's use that shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Let's wield that sword of the Spirit, which is God's Word. Let us be faithful, brother and sister, in this our day and age, to be men and women of faith. Be men and women that walk by faith right on into eternity. No matter what we face, persecution, death, martyrdom perhaps in the future, let us be men and women of faith. Yes, the sword of the Spirit, which is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, both for ourselves and for the souls of men. Brother Dwight, you brought out that scripture this morning about God's Word being a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Let us be men and women that are walking. You know, God's Word is that to us. It illuminates our path. Do we walk in the steps of the... Do we walk in the light that is placed before us? That's the question. Do we walk in that light? His Word is that to us. Galatians 5:6 brings out in Galatians. It says... Let me just turn there quickly. Galatians verse chapter 5. Says, For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. So, brother, sister, to be able to be at a place where faith is actively working in your life, there must be a love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith works by love. If you're going to try to work it up, it won't work. You're going to be in love with Jesus. Love Him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And that faith will be actively working in your life as you love Him and as furthermore you take the steps that are placed before you on life's pathway by the Spirit of God and through His Word. So let's be in the cutting edge. Like I shared many things this morning. Let's be on the cutting edge. Not allow our Christian lives to be dull where they hardly cut it. Where when you go to the supermarket, you know, you just walk in there and out again and nobody really sees that you're a Christian. Your life is dull. You just kind of, you know, you're living in a place where faith is not actively working. Nobody really notices your Christian walk because of the dullness. And it can, like I said, or maybe they're seeing it in part, but not in whole. Let us be on the cutting edge to where this world, to where we make a difference with all those around us, both our brothers and sisters in Christ and in this present evil world. So I believe a life of faith is to live on the cutting edge. God bless you all.
Amen. Faith is true religion, is it not? Isn't that tied together real well with the opening message? I had to think, Brother Mel, as you were sharing, how humbling to the disciples. O ye of little faith. And then here's this centurion. I'm not worthy, Jesus said, you should come under my roof. Just say the word, it'll be done. That Syrophoenician woman. Lord, but the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Surely, Jesus, you'll help me. Where's my faith this morning? You said about Hebrews 11 could be called the works chapter. I thought it also could be called the obedience chapter. They believed God, and then they were moved to action, and they did the work. Amen. When He cometh, when the Son of Man cometh, will He find faith on the earth? Amen. I want to open it up this morning for others to share. Thank you, Brother Mel, for sharing, laboring in the Word, exhorting us to a lively faith, a faith that works. Someone else have something they'd like to share? Raise your hand high, brothers or sisters. The ushers will bring a microphone to you. Hand here in the center on the brother's side. Others, raise your hand.
Yes, I appreciated all the messages today. I think they all went together, even the children's lesson.
Yes.
It was a real blessing. I thought of the verse there in Romans where it says, it is of faith that it might be by grace. Faith does put us in that place of humbling ourselves and realizing that by faith we're saying, I can't do it. I don't have it in me, and therefore I am totally at the mercy of God's grace. And so the two work together so well there. And faith is an action word in many ways, but the real action is still, what is God going to do? Mm-hmm. And by faith, we're putting it in God's hands to do it. Maybe through me, maybe through the situation I'm in, but it's still the grace of God. But we can only apprehend the grace of God truly by faith.
Amen. What shall we work? That we might work the works of God. What was Jesus' answer? This is the work of God, that ye believe. See, there's the point. There's... Yes, Brother Emmanuel.
I've also been very encouraged with the message of faith this morning, and also I've been pondering this for many days now, and there's a verse in Romans that says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And as I've been learning and walking about in this life and learning more about faith, I do also realize that we cannot manufacture faith. I cannot just simply manufacture faith within me. I just can't do it, you know. So what is the key there? And the key to that is to hear from God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so when I hear from God, and God gives me clear direction to do something, then is when I take that step of faith, and it is then that I can take the step of faith. If I don't hear from God, and I just say, well, I'm going to try to move that mountain over there. Yeah, I think I'll try to move that mountain. It doesn't work that way. But when God speaks a word into my ear, and He says, I want you to do this, Then I exercise faith to make that come to pass. And if you look at Hebrews 11, I want you to see this. It's very clear. Enoch it says, was translated that he should not see death. It's by faith. And was not found because God had translated him. And how did that faith come to pass in Enoch? It was for he had the for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He had heard from God, and therefore he could take a step of faith. Noah also, by faith Noah, it says, being warned of God, he heard the word. He heard from God and then he built. Abraham, when he was what? Did Abraham just by faith go out? No. When he was called. You see, there's a word from the Lord that they heard, and then they moved out by faith. And that is the most exciting way to live our Christian life. When I hear from God, when I get guidance from God, maybe it's from His Word, maybe it's in prayer, maybe it's just the voice of the Lord in my heart, but when I hear the voice of God, then I can take that step of faith. And that's where that cutting edge comes forth. And that's how you can endure. And to take that step of faith, it's almost like a blind leap. Sometimes you have to, and if it doesn't work out, you face the ridicule of those around you. You know, he tried to do that, it didn't work out. No, you don't think about those things. You just hear, you heard from God, and then you just take a step of faith. Noah, even though he heard, even though he was mocked and all those things came against him, it was because he had heard from God that he could continue on. So, thank Brother Mel for sharing the word this morning.
Amen. Praise God. Someone else. Personal testimony. Appreciated what Dwight shared. Would I leave this beautiful place overlooking this nice valley? Someone else, yes. On the sister's side. Go ahead, Sarah.
I was very blessed by the message this morning. At my personal testimony this past week, I felt that the Lord was asking me to step out in faith on a certain situation. And usually when I do that, the peace of God is there. And for some reason, the emotions and this situation, it was exactly the opposite. I felt like this has to be wrong because of just the emotions I was experiencing, and yet because of what I had made based the decision upon, I felt it was the word of the Lord, and so I stepped out in faith and didn't. It was a pretty big decision, and it wasn't until the very till it would have been too late to turn back anyway, and I was walking in every day thinking, God, why is this? My emotions are telling me that this is not even you in it, and yet I feel it is. And anyway, it was just yesterday that God very clearly showed me that it was indeed Him. But it was just so encouraging this morning to hear the message and just realizing how sometimes, even when usually we do have the peace of God, when we make a decision and it is Him, there are times that it seems that He withholds that peace, and it's totally by faith. There's no emotions to support or encourage. And I was just very encouraged. Thank you for the message.
Amen. Praise the Lord. In the back.
Yes, I was very encouraged by Brother Dwight's message. The truth I picked up, and I'm not sure how he said it in so many words, was that God has left us here in this world. We're still here. And am I using the world for what God designed the world for it to be? Or am I allowing my flesh to have reign? And he just brought that out so clearly. Thank you, Brother Dwight. That the reason that the world is here is to for me to respond rightly against it. And in doing that, choosing to love God more out of a choice, instead of God looking down and being disappointed as He sees me instead being drawn to love the world, that very thing which is against Him and which instead should He wanted there to prove my choice of love for Him. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Brother Dwight. I appreciate that, and I needed that. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Brother. Another one in the back there somewhere.
Yes. Thank you, Brother Mel, for preaching this morning. Felt led to share. The Lord showed me how I have been squelching some of the motives, right motives, that God has been stirring in my heart. Squelching and not letting those things that are rightly motivated lead to action because of concern over what somebody else will think, maybe misinterpreted, that type of thing. And I just want to confess that God showed me that need very plainly there. So I desire to allow that which God is stirring me to do to lead to some action. So praise God.
Thank you, brother. I had to think also in relation to what Dwight shared. You know, another mark of true religion is the fear of God dictates my life, not fear of men. Paul said, if I would yet live to please men, then I should not suffer persecution, and I shouldn't be pleasing the Lord either. So that's a real challenge to all of our hearts. It doesn't mean to be rash and do something weird or foolish just to say, well, I don't care what man thinks, but it's a life that is dominated with a reverential fear for God and a love for God. And he's willing to be misunderstood. There's a hand on the brother's side there toward the center. Raise your hand higher. Anyone else? Raise your hand. This is good. This is church life, body life, sharing together. Amen. Yes, brother.
Okay. I really appreciated all the messages today as well, and appreciate the declaration of faith and walking by faith. And for me, it's been 15 years ago today that the Lord Jesus revealed himself to me in a wonderful way in delivering me from a life of drugs and alcohol and lying and everything else. And I met the resurrected Lord Jesus 15 years ago. And for the last 15 years, I've learned what it is to walk by faith. And realizing, just as was shared, you can't just muster up faith. I want this to happen or this to happen. But I know who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And when he comes back on a white horse, the Bible says his name is faithful and true.
Hallelujah.
In faith, as we see it in the Scripture over and over again, they're crying out, Son of David. They're saying, we know that you are the Messiah. You are the one that all things are going to be committed to. And if we know who he is, we know, as the leper said, if thou wilt, thou canst. We know he is able to do exceeding abundance above anything we could think or ask. And faith is in who the Lord Jesus is. And just as was shared,
yes.
Oh, may we love him with all of our hearts. And may we believe his every word. Because when he comes back, we will see every word he said is faithful and true. And may we lean on those words today by faith.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Someone else have a microphone? No? Okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to add, I forgot one of the main points that I wanted to share, and that was what allowed, over the course of the conversation earlier in the week, Brother Emmanuel had shared the very thing that he would share this morning. And the thing that allowed me to go ahead with the decision was because I felt clear in my heart that I had heard from the Lord. And so I was able to go forward even when everything felt wrong. And just hearing that again this morning, it was just very encouraging. I just felt that it really, just that principle or that truth has really clarified some things in my own heart as I walk with the Lord, knowing that what enables me to go forward is when I hear from the Lord.
Amen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the bedrock. Solid. Not a blind faith, but a faith in an almighty living creator, God. A redeemer, savior. Is there someone else still? Okay. I find that, as Brother Emmanuel shared concerning faith cometh by hearing, just want to encourage us, as we look around us at the waves, the winds, boisterous, and all of those things, when we walk by sight, it gets pretty scary. But for myself, faith cometh by the hearing and by the word of God. So there's something beautiful happens in our hearts when we immerse ourselves in the word of God and the promises of God, and we see how God has showed himself faithful throughout all generations to all peoples and of all nations and tribes and kindreds. That is so encouraging to my heart. It renews my mind into who God is. You know what I mean? Oh, God, help us. Let us fill our hearts and our minds renewed in the Word of God, in our great God. And then we are more likely to believe Him also and step out. Then it's not only a hearing of the ear and a seeing, but now it's experiencing, becomes personal. Hallelujah. Okay, go ahead.
All right, I wanted to express our appreciation to the church body here, our family. We love you all dearly, and it's good to be back with you. My wife and I had no doubt that we had a church that stood behind us and loved us, supported us during our time in Ghana. Thank you all for that. I had a few thoughts on what was shared here this morning. My heart really thrilled with what I was hearing. I was thinking about the children of Israel marching into the land of Canaan, and I was thinking about God's directives to them, to Joshua in particular, that he was supposed to pass on to the children of Israel. There were two imperatives to victory that God had for them. The first one was they had to have faith in God, and the second one was they had to be obedient to the word of God. The two go hand in hand. And I was also thinking about the verse that Brother Dwight shared on in Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. They that know their God shall be strong and shall do exploits. Again, strong in the Lord, strong in faith, and they therefore would go out and do exploits for God. The greater the exploits, the greater the faith. And the greater their faith, the greater the exploits. The two, it seems, go hand in hand. And then just finally, I had to think about this whole thing, the whole issue of faith and works, and some would call it faith versus works. I think Brother Keith Daniels summarized it very well by the statement which he made when he said that our faith is dead if it does not work. So I was really blessed with that. I want my faith to work. I want to do exploits for God, allowing Him to do His work through my life.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.